Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome in, hour three of the show. Nick Sainert filling in for Jake Sorensen as Bill Bush is joining me today. Steve Sipple out as well on his way to College Park, Maryland. Hour three, sponsored by NEBCO.
The Co.
Now hiring jobs with ready-mixed concrete. Check out NEBCOinc.com for more information. Now it is 8 a.m. also, and you know what that means, Bill. It's time for the IBA $1,000 cash contest keyword.
Oh, I love this.
Text it to 508-777-1000, or you can head to theticketfm.com, click on Cash Blitz to enter. We can give folks a couple of seconds here to do so. 508-777-1000 or theticketfm.com. You head to the top right corner, click on Cash Blitz. Today's keyword for the 8 a.m. hour, save. S-A-V-E, save. Remember, every keyword you enter is another chance to win. One lucky listener will take home 1,000 bucks.
1,000.
Tomorrow around noon. Don't wait. Get that keyword in now. One last time, that keyword is save. All right. Nebraska, Maryland, tomorrow afternoon, 2:30 kickoff on Big Ten Network. Let's talk a little bit about it. Let's preview it. The Huskers and the Terps here. When you look on both sides of the ball, Nebraska, we know what they do well defensively, at least statistically, that is.
Absolutely.
And that's defend the pass. The defending of the run has been, at times, a struggle for Nebraska. Do you feel like this matches up well for Nebraska defensively?
I don't know how you can get a better matchup as far as a whole team. When you stop and look and say, the one matchup you see, if you start with a negative first, would be someone might say, well, they rushed the passer well, and there's been some issues with O-line in the last two games in protection. And then, but when I say O-line, let's just say protection. Because protection, a lot of times, is it a scat protection, which means it's on the quarterback? Is it on the running back? And so there's always more. So I never want to say O-line, but protection has been an issue. And they lead the Big Ten in sacks. So that's a plus for Maryland. But when I look on the other side, it's like they throw the ball. Best thing that Nebraska does is pass defense. And then as a defensive coordinator, here's how I look at it. Here's what strains me to no end. They run the football well. That strains you to no end. And then B, do they have a running quarterback, which means you have to play 11-on-11 football. And then if it's in the run game of the quarterback, or is the quarterback an elite scrambler, which just terrifies you. You want to see elite scrambling? In that last game, why do you think that UCLA upset Penn State? Their quarterback rushed for like 130 yards.
Yeah.
Some of it was designed run. Other stuff of it was scramble run.
He also, there was plays where he had to call it on his own because the coach, Neuheisel, didn't know how to work the button on the side.
Button didn't work. So that is a factor. That's such a big factor. And so when the quarterback is that he doesn't run the football and he's a true freshman and they don't have a running game. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm pretty excited about going into that. Now, can they throw it? Yes. And they have skill on the outside. Yes. So there are some upsides to them. To say that the game is unwinnable for Maryland, that's not true. But the matchups, if I'm a Nebraska fan, would be very favorable for their success in this game. And the game's not one of those weird, noon Eastern time kickoffs. You know, it's a 2:30 kick. The crowd will be interesting. As we talk here, someone who's going to come on the air from Maryland, and they canceled this morning, said their throat was unusable.
Yeah.
So they couldn't talk. And I'd like to have had some questions like, what will the vibe be like? Mm-hmm. Because they had a really good vibe for the Washington game. Almost sold out. Just the corners were not. That was according to Locks. And then this game, what will the vibe be like? Is it a... And so you see some teams lose one, and all of a sudden it kind of hits them hard. So a lot of things going on, but very favorable for Nebraska with the matchups that you see on paper.
I think also, I mean, and Bill, maybe you could talk a little bit more about this. Is there a potential, not, I don't want to say letdown, because I think the fourth quarter in its entirety was a letdown for Maryland last week. I mean, they were going into the fourth quarter, they were up 20-3, and they ended up losing 24-20. They got outscored 21-0. In that fourth quarter, Washington started to feed it more and more to Jonah Coleman, the transfer running back from 2 years ago from Arizona that followed Coach Fish from Tucson to Washington. But ultimately, like, can you have kind of, I don't want to say a letdown, but just a continuation of just kind of feeling down because of what you allowed to have happen in that fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Maryland could be 5-0.
And if it's 5-0, imagine what the scene would have been like.
Yeah.
The scene would have been great. It won't be an insane scene. It'll be a solid one. But what happens when they're feeding a running back? So this was a discussion I've had on air before. When they, whoever the opponent is, throws a touchdown pass, the person that got beat and the DB coach is very upset. When they run it at you, everyone's upset.
Yeah,
and that the head coach is mad. It takes your heart away from you when you're just getting pummeled up front, and that's what they ended up doing. And they, being Maryland, couldn't run the ball at all, so they could use no clock. And so there's a lot of things that add up with it. Now, this is where you have to be. Now, how good is Locks? Because what he had, the head coach of Maryland, this is all about attitude. Do I get my team back? It's not about, do we call this certain play? Do we run more bubble screens? No, this is about, does he get his team refocused and re-energized? That's what's going to happen. Or does it happen? What happened to Penn State? One loss became two losses. Or what happened at Washington? One loss became an epic win. So which, they're going to be one of two. They're going to be one of those two ways.
So, I mean, you mentioned it, the lack of running game for Maryland. Maryland as a team, 130th in the country in rushing per game. They average about 93 yards on the ground per contest. Their starting running back is DeJuan Williams, a 5'11", 215-pound freshman who has almost 60 carries on the year, 209 yards. Averaging just a tad over three yards per
carry. They're dead last in the Big Ten.
They are dead last. The season high in rushing yards for Williams is against Wisconsin. He ran it 15 times for 62 yards. That's his season high.
Which is a little surprising, Wisconsin's defense, because they've played Towson, right? And mm-hmm. They've not had a brutal schedule.
No.
They've not been up against it like, oh, man, how do we hold up? They had to go to Wisconsin. They had Washington fly 6 hours to play him. And so they have not had a brutal schedule at this time at all.
Not at all. They opened the season with FAU at home. Mm-hmm. Then it was Northern Illinois, then Towson, like you just said.
So those three teams, as you guys know, they're terrible. Northern Illinois is like 1-4 or 1-5. They're and FAU is terrible. So they mm-hmm. so how do they not run the ball against them? That's, again, if I'm Nebraska fans, I'm like, okay, this is a really good situation.
And one area of the game, I think, once again, talking Nebraska's defense versus Maryland's offense, one area of the game that is interesting is how can they apply pressure to the quarterback, though, I think to a certain extent, because we talked about Maryland's ability to maybe apply pressure defensively, but Maryland is tied for the best offensive line in terms of sacks allowed in the Big Ten with Ohio State, fourth in the country. They've only allowed 2 sacks all season
long.
That's
incredible. Those numbers are. Obviously, the ball's getting out fast, and the quarterback's doing a great job of not taking sacks himself. And so I would imagine, like you said, the ball's out pretty quick. I've not watched enough Maryland. I've watched him, but not enough to say watching for whole games. And the Washington game, due to my wedding last week, I got zero.
Yeah.
So I didn't get 1 second of it. So I apologize.
Okay, big picture conversation for Maryland. We talk about Nebraska's schedule being opportunistic for the Huskers. I mean, how about this for Maryland, too, though? Is if they were able, let's just say hypothetical scenario here, if they were able to close out and was able to avoid a 21-0 shutout in the fourth quarter last week and win against Washington, they'd be 5-0 going into this week. It's Nebraska, UCLA, Rutgers, Illinois, Michigan State. Those are the teams that are on their schedule.
That's insane. They're
sprinkled in with, there's a Michigan one in there, and then also Indiana at home. But even those two, It could be so much worse. Other teams have it so much worse. I would imagine maybe not to the level of Nebraska.
They avoided the top two teams, Ohio State and Oregon.
Yeah, and they avoided Penn State, which isn't a top two team.
But still, they've avoided we felt going into it. If you looked at your schedule going in and said, okay, who do you guys have? Because remember, mm-hmm. I think they're just giving Maryland one of those guys. I think they just sat down. And I think Petitti's like, all right, guys. We've allowed Maryland and Rutgers to have to play Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State every year since they came into the.
Let's just
give them a little break here, and they gave them a break. Now you kind of go, okay, Penn State, no big deal. But if imagine like that, if you're going into that game, it's like, hey guys, we don't play the top three teams. We don't play any of them. You know, that's where we know Nebraska caught a break. They're two of the three they don't play, and then the third team they do play is falling apart.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine if Penn State loses to Ohio State that they're not completely checked out when Nebraska goes there. And then Penn State also has Indiana coming to their place.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's
so
that's
I can't
massive.
Imagine Penn State not being checked out. Because if they lose to Ohio State, they are out of the playoffs. You're not going to lose to a UCLA on the road and have a chance.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down? And you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all, and everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
No chance.
Yeah, I mean, It's crazy to think about with Penn State's such a fascinating case study this year. Everything.
It's a remarkable case study. And they're in overtime, and double overtime, lose the game, then go and beat and lose to one of the worst teams in the history. And then also it's like, what was going on at UCLA? How do you go to Northwestern and score 14? Mm-hmm. How's that happen? Yeah. How do you go there and score 14 points? How does this? I mean, you can say all you want, but it's way different play calling. Man, when you have the same players, when you have this, it's the same. Trust me, if someone said, hey, you're going to play, what team do you want? Do you want Penn State or do you want UCLA? I'm like, I'm going to take Penn State. I'm going to coach these guys.
I would imagine so.
I'm going to coach these guys. I'm going to take that one.
And it's in it. Okay, this is going to be a very generalized take. It wasn't for a lack of trying from UCLA. They went out and got a new offensive coordinator in between the season. They went out and basically hired away Tino Sunseri from Indiana to go out to UCLA. He's not on the staff, obviously, anymore. But it wasn't for, I don't want to say a lack of trying, but
a quarterback that was in the playoffs last year from the SEC.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, that team should easily be able to beat who? UNLV. Mm. They should be able to beat New Mexico. New Mexico ran them off their own field.
Yeah.
Ran them off their own field. So what was going on there? It must have been beyond toxic inside that locker room. And then all of a sudden they had a little bit of breath of fresh air and see what happens.
What can that do for a team when you're trying to, I don't want to say re-recruit. I mean, yeah, I guess so. Re-recruit players in the midst of a coaching change. Can a couple of wins do that for, can it benefit you in that regard?
Absolutely can benefit. It's just, it is, like I said, as we know in this world, it's a tough, tough job.
Yeah.
It's a tough job. It's just very hard. It's a brutal job academically. UCLA is, they play off campus 25 miles away. Traffic is insane. They don't have a fan base that cares. They don't show up. And so when you have all those, that's a lot to overcome. And then also no one's sitting there saying, oh, we have an incredible NIL package and we are well-funded. Yeah. The number, you just talked to all the coaches. I heard Neuheisel talk one time about his conversation with the AD. It was like, oh, we're not funded to be a great team. We need to be make a run every now and then. We need to be a, 8-4 team. That'd be great for us because we're not funded for that. And they're giving money now they still fund Cal for when they depart. Right. They have to give them $10 million a year. So they're not well-funded in all areas. So it's a very, very difficult job. They have one thing going for them, an incredible campus. There's a lot of incredible campuses. That doesn't do enough right now.
Does that make it more impressive what Jim Mora Jr. was able to do there? Mm-hmm. Now college football's changed, but in terms of fan investment and everything there, for Jim Mora to go, I think it was like 46-30 or something similar to that in his 7 years.
He had a couple
years,
great years in there.
He did, yeah. But he was consistently 8-4, and they were consistently a top 25 team.
It does. It stands out. It really does. And it is a tough job. It's a tough job for assistant coaches. I've had friends that coach there.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And it's a tough job for them. For one of them was that the coaches would sleep in the office Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and maybe even Wednesday night. Not because, man, we're just going to outwork everybody. It's because where they had to live to afford, they had to live an hour away traffic, if maybe not more. On your late nights, if you got in your car and drove home, getting home at midnight, you had to give up 4 to beat traffic back in. So they would just sleep, but they'd just live in the office. And so that's what they would do to make it simpler. That's hard. And also, the pay is about the same. The pay at UCLA would be very similar to Nebraska. Uh-huh. And it's 4 times as expensive.
Yeah.
I remember the conversation when I was coaching here, and I had been pursued by UCLA in conversation about being the safeties coach at UCLA. So I had to ask, where are we at with the contract? Mm-hmm. And the money was the same. I'm like, same? I'll be living in a studio apartment. I mean, the same. It's like that's nuts. Mm-hmm. You can't live out there for that money. So it's very hard on families and where you live at and what you do. I know one guy I talked to that coached at UCLA, and now he's doing a great job and another job, but. He made the decision to move his family much closer, and they lived in a like 3 kids in a 1-bedroom apartment just to be closer so he could go home, so he could see his kids. That area is very nice, but it's insane what it would cost.
Is that the hardest job that's open right now?
And in addition to
Stanford,
it's still listed as the best job. It's listed that way because it's in the Big Ten.
Yeah, sure.
It's listed because it's in the Big Ten. I think Stanford is way harder.
Okay.
Than UCLA. I would take UCLA over Stanford every time. The academic requirements are absolutely brutal at Stanford. And then you're in the ACC, and there's just 2 of you.
Yeah,
it's just you and Cal.
All
your
across games,
you're flying all the way across. It's the Atlantic Coast Conference.
That's right.
All the teams
are on
the
Pacific
coast. And there's only 2 of you. So it's not like, oh, there's 4. Well, no, there's just 2. So we're going to play each other. So we have 1 game that's going to be close. That's it. you don't want anything to do with that. And then Arkansas, I always say, do they jump in financially? What happens there? What goes on with that? Because if they do jump in financially, because how could you look at it and say, you can't win at Arkansas? How's it going at Vanderbilt? Yeah. So pretty good. And so it's like, hold it. We're winning at Vanderbilt. I think we can probably win at Arkansas.
How about this? So Stanford, I just pulled up their schedule. Stanford had to go to, obviously, Hawaii. They opened the season up in Hawaii. I know we talked about that. Hawaii, Virginia, they go to SMU, which isn't horrible this weekend.
Still a pretty good flight.
Still a pretty good flight. You can get in for $9 to SMU and Stanford, by the way. Then it's Miami, home against Pittsburgh at North Carolina. That's their travel for the next couple of weeks. Miami, that's about
the only thing worse would be Oregon.
Yeah,
and Miami.
Yeah. Or Washington.
Washington and Miami would be worse.
Washington,
but you're right
State
there.
Had to go
you're
to
right on the cusp of the worst trip you've ever seen. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like almost one of those trips they might have to stop and get gas.
I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that Stanford just got like a $50 million investment.
They did.
And from a notable alumni, I'm guessing, Andrew Luck.
Really? No, yeah. It's I think he played in the 60s.
Gotcha.
And it's all to football. But that is a tough, tough job.
Yeah.
Being where they're at, being in the ACC. If they were in the Big 12, okay, it's not great, but I'd rather fly to Baylor, mm-hmm. than I would to North Carolina State.
Oh yeah,
and so if they had, and then the money's the same.
Yeah,
it's not like we can't leave the ACC to go to the Big 12. Yeah, you can. The money's the same. Also, well noted by everyone, if this was 8-10 years ago, slam dunk. They're in the Big 10 right now. Mm-hmm. Slam dunk. The Harbaugh/Shaw era. They went to the Rose Bowl, which they won. I think he took them twice in a row.
Yeah.
If they looked at their football, all of a sudden Andrew Luck winning 10 games, 11 games, going to Orange Bowls, they would have been in the Big Ten. And Big Ten said, absolutely. Instead, football failed. And talk about how important is football? How important is the front porch of your university? That tells you right there. Because 10 years ago, they're in the Big Ten.
That's fascinating to think about. Okay, so here's David Shaw in his first couple of years at Stanford. He started there in 2011. He took them to an 11-2 finish. Then the next year, 12-2, they won the Rose Bowl. 2013, 11-3, they lost the Rose Bowl. Then it was a Foster Farms Bowl, 8-5 year. 12-2 the year after in 2015, 10-3 in 2016. Out of his first six seasons, five double-digit wins.
So if that's going on at that time, if expansion happens, they're coming.
Man.
The Big Ten's going to be flexing to get – you'd be flexing to get Stanford. Instead, Stanford's got going, we have nowhere to go. It's very well documented that Notre Dame jumped in with the ACC and said, you have to help Stanford. You have to help these guys to give them some place to go.
That's crazy. It's wild to think about.
How important is football? It's really important.
Yeah.
It's really important to have that piece going.
You said obviously UCLA listed as the best job. Do you feel that way?
I feel Arkansas. Just because that, now if Florida, there's the jobs that aren't open yet, but the ones that are open, that's what I feel right now, because I think Arkansas has they have mega billionaires, not just good boosters.
Yeah.
Mega. I mean, you're talking Tyson Chicken, JB Hunt's there, and Walmart. Walmart bought the Broncos.
I was just going to say, I mean, look at the way that Calipari got there.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole entire situation. Yeah. Imagine that on steroids with football. Yeah.
And so, and it's important. So if they decide that, yes, we are going to jump in on this, it would be insane.
Yeah. Before we get to break, it is towards the end of golf season, but you can still get out and play.
Absolutely.
If you're looking for a great place to hang out after your round of golf this weekend, make sure you head to Liquid Assets Sports Bar and Grill, 27th and Jamie Lane. 30 TVs, 23 beers on tap, great food as well. Make it part of your new weekend routine today. Liquid Assets on 27th and Jamie Lane. I watched the Cubs game there
TVs?
A couple of weeks ago. 30.
That's incredible. So they're going to have every game going. It is nice to have that. It's nice to have it on different TVs. I have the quad box at home. I do the
sure.
quad box.
And
the quad
box
is really good, but that would be something. Get to Liquid Assets.
Yep, there you go. 27th and Jamie Lane. 30 TVs, 23 beers on tap. I personally think some of the best Guinness in town. That's just my
Thank
opinion,
you for
though.
That, Swim.
So I enjoyed a Guinness there a couple of weeks ago watching the Cubs game. But all right, when we come back, FSPs.
Potential field storming possibilities.
That's right. It's time. We have about a half hour left in the show. We'll come back. Early break on the ticket.